the best in the world.
I've been the best ever since day one. On this microphone, in that ring, even in commentary. And trust me when I tell you, I am the hottest property in this industry today. Nobody can touch me. The only thing that's real is me, day in and day out. I am the best in the world. Do I have everybody's attention now?
What up, people? I said, what up, people? What up, people? Welcome to another edition of the Salty Thoughts of Mike Steph podcast, featuring the one and only Mike Steph, best in the world at what he does. Yeah, man. I'm back with another edition. I'm back with another show. I'm back with all the news that you could use. Yeah, let me stop lying. You know what that says down there? Let's get straight to the point. You know what that says down there? It says, acknowledge me. Why do I want y'all to acknowledge me? I don't know, because I damn sure was half right on some of my predictions this past week on Hidden Gems Football. I damn sure was about three quarters of the way right on a lot of my predictions, or should I say my bets. But guess what? Since I do a parlay, 3 out of 4 makes me a loser. Yeah. I'm not even going to lie. I figured I was going to wait until tomorrow to record this. And I said, you know what? Let me put this in. Let me get this on tape. Let me get this out in the atmosphere right now while my feelings are nice and raw. Because I had 2 parlays this week. And needless to say, neither one of them hit. But what else? It's par for the course. I figured I would give the masses, or should I say, give those selected few, the selected few of y'all who just love to see this simply ravishing body, this simply dashing individual on your screen, which y'all used to, and that's me dropping late Sunday night, early Monday morning. I'm going to let y'all know what's on tap this week. And then y'all could go into the info area and chop up and see exactly what part of this podcast y'all want to see. Because I have 2, that's right, not one, but dos topics this week. And both of them concerning the NFL, the AFC Championship game, and the NFC Championship game. Looks like we got a remix, or should I say a redo, of the Super Bowl from a couple years ago. We have the Kansas City Chiefs representing the AFC going against the San Francisco 49ers representing the NFC in Super Bowl coming up in 2 weeks. Ain't that a bada bitch? I entitled this episode, Everybody Can't Go. It's multifaceted. There's numerous reasons. And tell you the truth, what was fresh in my mind, even though I've yet to actually listen to the project, is Benny the Butcher's latest offering his Def Jam debut, everybody can't go. And I said, you know what? I was fishing around for a title, and I said, that's very apropos for what's going to happen. Well, what's happening in 2 weeks? Everybody can't go. We have four teams, and now we're down to two. I actually thought it was going to be the other two, the two that's actually going somewhere, and guess where that's going? They're going home. The Baltimore Ravens and the Detroit Lions. But like I said, I will get into that in depth later on this episode. So, the docket for this week. I will be breaking down, well, giving my opinions on the AFC Championship game. And then, when I finish breaking that down to a fine china, I'll be breaking down the NFC Championship game and the idiotic decisions of one coach that will remain nameless until later. Let's just say I got a couple of jokes, a couple of zingers, and some real, real harsh thoughts on what I saw in the later game. The nightcap, if you will, and tell you the truth, the main event. Because a lot of people, myself included, and my trusty partner, HGF, the Mojo King, was wondering, well, why do we have the Niners and the Lions late game? And the better game will be the Kansas City Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens. Well, we were both wrong because the better game was actually the nightcap. So it looks like the NFL knew what the fuck they were doing. I'm going to try to calm down on my curses because I've been noticing I've been on one the last couple weeks. But whatever. Before I get this show on the road, I'd like to thank each and every one of y'all for making me and the Salty Thoughts of Mike Steph the one y'all choose to listen to and view the last couple weeks. After a slight dip around the holiday season, I've seen the dozens and dozens have decided to return to my unique brand of sports recapping. Also, those of y'all who probably just like, wow, I'm so glad that even though the Royal Rumble was last night, or in this case, the time y'all hearing it, late Saturday night, I'm glad Mike Steph is not torturing our ears, torturing our eyes, recapping the WWE's PLE offering of the Royal Rumble. But guess what? Guess what? You're not spared for so much. You're just going to be spared on this episode. I told y'all, new year, not new me, but a little bit new tactic, that I'm going to give the audio listeners a little more crumbs on their plate. A little more attention, if you will, because I'm not going to lie, my heart, as much as I love to see this magnificent figure on this screen looking back at me, I like to hear my voice even more. And being the fact that I love podcasting, because I have to do it for the love, because I damn sure ain't doing it for the money. My first love is the audio version. That's my baby. That's the mothership, the flagship, if you will. So, in probably a day or two, shoot, it might drop later on today, I will be giving a special sprinkle of salt edition for all my wrestling heads out there. Yeah, I know there's at least one or two of y'all. I'm recapping the Royal Rumble and giving my off-centered thoughts on the situation involving WWE, TKO, and former chairman, former owner of WWE, Vince McMahon, and his allegations of sexual misconduct, and tell you the truth, worse things. So I was going to drop one before this episode, and then due to a great article by Brad Winchester of One Half of Gimmick Infringement, I chose to take a step back, not jump out the window. I really don't give a fuck about canceling because, like, cancel what? Shoot. I'm everlasting. I'm evergreen. I pop up whenever the hell I want. But regardless of that, his article that's currently on gimmickinfringement.com concerning NDAs really made me think a little bit and take a step back and decide to put a representative product instead of just, you know, going for the jokes, going for the low-hanging fruit. So, yeah. So, that's what's on deck this week on the audio point. And on this edition, we're going to recap the AFC and NFC championship games. So, being the fact it's 10 minutes, man, let's get this shit on the way, huh? Without further ado, good night and goodbye. I said, the Ravens implode. The Chiefs dynasty continues. I swear, I was debating on whether or not I was going to start it with a clip from what I recently said on the latest edition of Hidden Gems Football. You know, the show that me and the Mojo King do, that's on the 19 Media Group channel, YouTube channel, you know, that's on all streaming platforms where podcasts are available. Yeah, that show. When we was previewing this AFC championship game, in which, I'm not going to lie, I was like the majority of people that gave Kansas City a slight chance, but I was fully on the Raven bandwagon for multiple reasons. Some of the reasons are pretty much just, you know, comes down to, I won't say hatred, but I'm the type of dude that I like to root for the underdog. I like to root for the upstart. And when that upstart becomes the favorite, when that favorite becomes a dynasty, of course, I look for the next person that's going to knock off that dynasty. The next person, the next team that's going to chip away at that dynasty. The only game I actually had the Chiefs favored in was against my hated rival of the New York Jets, the Miami Dolphins, because I knew from jump that they were a fraudulent team. But I thought Kansas City going into Buffalo, this would, if there was any time ever that Buffalo was going to knock Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid off, it was going to be this year. Didn't happen. Then I said, you know what? Okay, that's because Buffalo's a flawed team themselves. After hearing a whole week of excuses and caping for Josh Allen, I said, you know what? There's some credence in that. Credence in being that Buffalo's defense was a shell of itself. And this Kansas City offense that was so used to high-flying and running and gunning, they had to use a different method to get past the Buffalo Bills. Okay, that might fly against the Buffalo Bills, but going down to B-more, going against this Baltimore Raven team that was historic in some of its aspects, that was laying waste to San Francisco at San Francisco, to the Detroit Lions when they came into the home, when Seattle was riding high at 5-2, came to the East Coast and got smacked. I felt in every fiber of my being that if there was any time that Kansas City was going to fall short, it's going to be against these Ravens. Remember, a couple years ago, the upstart Cincinnati Bengals went into Arrowhead, took advantage of the Chiefs' mistakes, and had a Super Bowl appearance of their own. makes me wonder if the Cincinnati Bengals would have made it, being all things saying, all things being fair. If Joe Burrow wouldn't have got hurt, would Baltimore have won the division? Because that's a story for another day. But with Lamar Jackson on his MVP role, the defense being stout up the middle, stout in the secondary, Lamar Jackson actually having the requisite pieces that was needed, the running game, along with players on the outside to complement Mark Andrews. And he was getting Mark Andrews back. That this would be the year that the Ravens, that Lamar Jackson in particular, was going to go over that hump and get to his first Super Bowl appearance. And at the same time, quieting all the naysayers out there, all the people that saying Lamar just don't have it, even though Ryan Clark tried to ratchet up the energy, ratchet up the pressure. It's like, look, Lamar don't do it this time. I don't know. Lamar just might not be that dude. Lamar played with such a poise, such a confidence, such a focus this year, that I thought he was going to be a man on a mission, that he was a man on a mission, that he would not be denied. Oh, was I mistaken? Was I mistaken? I'm sitting here watching this game after me and Main Event K did a Trader Joe run. And I got back just in time for kickoff. Tidied up the living room. Got myself ready. I'm actually in contact with the boys in the group chat, the Mojo King and Tyler McDowell. And Kansas City set the tone early. Kansas City made Baltimore go 3 and out on their first drive. And then when they received that ball from the punt, they commenced not only to march down the field, they proceeded to march, to run the ball down Baltimore's throat. Not even on the outside, not even sweeps, not even reverses, not even zone runs. No, right down the middle. They set the tone early. Much to my chagrin, much to my surprise, because of course, you know, I had some coins on the Ravens. But besides all that, I'm like, this does not look like the same Raven team that I've seen in marquee matchup after marquee matchup after marquee matchup after marquee matchup. It's not the same Ravens team that smacked around a Miami Dolphins team and put 56 up. This is not the same Raven team that made the necessary adjustments last week in the divisional round against the Houston Texans and came out in that second half and put the clamps down. Took the glass slipper off CJ Stroud and them boys. There was something different. Missed tackles. Just the physicality was not there. Patrick Queen and Roquan Smith was not what they had been all year. And that's the physical presence. Joey Hamilton had a couple plays, but he was not the constant force that he needed to be, that the defense needed to be. And they marched down that field, scored a touchdown quick. Kelsey, 11 targets for 11 receptions for 116 yards. And just to make sure that I got everything in order, I'm going to go with my trusty ass notes, something that was actually sorely missing. 11 targets for 11 catches, 116 yards, one touchdown. Travis Kelce was a beast. Patrick Mahomes played an exquisite game. He was 30 of 39 for 241 yards. First game ever against the Baltimore Ravens that he threw for less than 340. But this was a different Chiefs team. This was a team that went into this game and said, you know what? Baltimore, I think y'all got us fucked up. I don't think y'all realize who the hell we be. Isaiah Pacheco, 24 carries for 68 yards. Yeah, it's a paltry 2.8 yard per carry ratio. But guess what? Guess what's glaring on that line? Not the 2.8, not even the 68 yards. The 24 carries. I'm going to paraphrase or rejigger a zinger from this past week's Monday Night Raw during the standoff, during the face-to-face with Cody Rhodes and CM Punk, in which Cody Rhodes looked at CM Punk and said, you know what? I am more CM Punk than you. What the Kansas City Chiefs did, the Kansas City Chiefs were more Baltimore Raven than the Baltimore Ravens. Now, I really truly feel sorry for Lamar Jackson. Lamar was harassed the majority of the game. And I believe his coaches did not put him in position to win. Did not put him in position to succeed. What they did, they effectively went back to previous years and said, Lamar, carry us to the promised land by yourself. That's what they did. Because I'm going to read this line. I'm going to read these stats from the Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson, 20 of 37. 272 yards passing, one touchdown, one interception, four sacks. He only completed 54% of his passes. Here's the more glaring part. Lamar Jackson led all runners with 8 rushes for 54 yards. A couple of them were playing, the majority of them was getting out the pocket because he did not show the patience, especially toward the end of the game. He did not show the patience that was his trademark throughout the regular season. What made him different? Here's a more glaring stat. Do you know that Lamar Jackson's 8 rushes total or equal the amount of rushes by the rest of the team? 8. 3 by Gus Edwards, 2 by Zay Flowers, and 3 by Justice Hill. 3 rushes for 3 yards. Zay Flowers, 2 rushes for 4 yards. Gus Edwards had 3 rushes for 20 yards with a long of 15. What the f were you doing? It seemed like Baltimore came out with the mindset that we're going to out-Chiefs the Chiefs, not realizing the Kansas City Chiefs are a totally different animal this year. I don't know. Even the touchdown that they scored to tie the game at 7 with some Lamar magic, he eluded the rush, he escaped the sack, and threw a bomb, a 54-yard bomb to Zay Flowers to tie the game. And it's almost like, okay, yeah, we got them. No. Now, as much as I can say, well, the referees, I won't say impacted this game, but if you want to think about it, they actually let the players play. Were there a lot of grabs, holds? There was a couple of egregious non-calls, but by that point, the tone had already been set. The Chiefs were the aggressor. The Chiefs were the more physical. The Chiefs had that championship DNA. The Ravens were also Rams. Now, I'm not going to say normally, because on occasion, I do go into the DMs and actually, you know, divulge some information. But this information is not private. Well, it is private because it's DMs. But this is something that made sense. And by Mr. McDowell. Because this is what he said. If I can get this up. Okay. There's a difference between good players and champions. He was referring to, there was Zay Flowers was the GOAT. And I'm not talking about greatest of all time. No, I'm talking about the scapegoat. The one that, if anybody wanted to lay the defeat at his end, I mean, at laid the defeat at his feet, I won't say they would be 100% correct, but I wouldn't say that they would be 100% incorrect. Zay Flowers on one drive single-handedly cost the Ravens a chance to close the gap to 17-14. Because guess what? The game, they only lost 17-10. At this point in time, they were down 17-7. They're driving midway through the fourth quarter. There was one play in which Zay Flowers got a long reception and immediately got flagged for a 15-yard taunting penalty that effectively took them out of the red zone. He had a chance to redeem himself, which he did. On a chance to want to dive into the end zone instead of securing the ball to make sure that the ball could cross the plane, he allowed the football to get punched out at the 1-inch yard line, the 1-inch line, and the ball was fumbled into the end zone and recovered for a touchback. Isn't that eerily similar to what happened in Baltimore, what happened in Buffalo, in which Mecole Hardman, yeah, did you see him? Yeah, that's what I thought. Was on his way to the end zone, and he fumbled the ball on the 1-yard line and fumbled it in to the end zone for a touchback. So I guess karma had a way of going around, coming around. But what made matters worse was this. Zay Flowers, due to his frustration over costing his team, not potentially, but costing his team 7 points and costing his team a chance to really make this a game when it was still competitive, went on the sideline and almost did an Odell Beckham. Maybe Odell rubbed off on him. Maybe he saw some Odell takes and said, you know what? Acting like a wild man on the sidelines, that's how I'm going to get the big bag. I don't know. But in him showing his frustration, showing his passion, he cut his hand on the bench because he threw the helmet, hit the bench, cut his hand. So for the rest of the game, he was effectively null and void when they were still attempting to come back. Odell Beckham, who had been invisible the whole game, all of a sudden became the focal point. But everything that Lamar Jackson threw, even from the beginning of the game, was high. Just a little bit off. Just a little bit too far. Just a little bit emotional. Tight. The defense starts shooting themselves in the foot. Jadeveon Clowney got a roughing the passing penalty. They just start unraveling at the worst time. It was almost like, you know how teams have been front runners the whole season, and then they get a little bit of adversity, and then everything just starts to unravel? That's what happened to Baltimore, and very disappointing. Very disappointing. They became undisciplined. You know, like, I really wanted this for Lamar. I really did. But I don't know. It's a shame. It's really a shame. Because this was the most vulnerable that the Chiefs were, or so we thought. And do you know who put the nail in the coffin? You know who actually, put the nail in the coffin for the game for the Chiefs? Marquez Valdes-Scantling caught a ball on his back to effectively allow Kansas City to run out the clock. I really have nothing much to add when it comes to that. The Chiefs going to be making their fourth Super Bowl appearance in the last 5 years. Patrick Mahomes is trying to get his third ring. They're trying to be the first team since, I believe, the 2004-2005 New England Patriots to repeat as champions. And really put a stamp on this era. I mean, I got to give them their due. And it's a funny position for me, because normally during playoff time, especially in the AFC, I'm usually a Chiefs supporter. I don't know. Like I told y'all before, it's just maybe it's the Taylor Swift situation. Maybe it's just overexposure. Maybe it's I just want somebody new, because I don't know. But Baltimore had the chance. Had multiple chances, and they just kept on shooting themselves in the foot. And so salute to Patrick Mahomes. Salute to Travis Kelce for coming through in the clutch, i.e. the playoffs. Salute to Andy Reid. And, this was troubling. This was troubling. But listen, what can you do? Now to the other end of the pendulum. The NFC Championship game. The 49ers came roaring back from a 17-point deficit to defeat the Detroit Lions and go to their second Super Bowl appearance in the last 5 years. This was a game, and I'm actually on record by saying that I believed Detroit was going to win. I wanted Detroit to win. Not for the same reasons as I wanted Baltimore to win, or should I say I wanted Kansas City to lose, because I don't really have Niner fatigue. It's the fact that this Detroit team, matter of fact, Detroit as a franchise, as an organization, has never reached the Super Bowl in all 58 years of existence. Cleveland either. But Cleveland had a stop and a start. But I'm talking about all 58 years that we've had a Super Bowl, Detroit has never been in it. And I thought, once again, this was 1 year that if it was going to be possible, this was going to be a year that was going to be possible. Where should I begin before I even crack my jokes? Because you know that joke's coming. Detroit jumped out to a 7-0 lead on the end around by Jameson Williams, and he took it to the bank. He took it to the end zone. He took it all the way and gassed the 49ers defense for 42 yards with less than 3 minutes, 4 minutes into the game. The 49ers could not get out of their own way. Debo was there. He was less than 100%, but he did put in work. Yes, he did. I'm not even going to take that away from him. Debo had 8 catches, 89 yards. And more importantly, he was able to allow Brandon Ayuk the space, especially in the second half, to put this game away. He was able to make them two-dimensional. McCaffrey had 20 carries on 90 yards, 2 touchdowns. Ayuk had an unbelievable catch for 51 yards that set up the comeback. Brock Purdy, after an abysmal first half, caught fire in the second half. He ended 20 of 31. So I guess this is where I talk a little ish. So this interesting stat that we had last week, that Brock Purdy has a losing record when he throws over 30 times, you know, I take it to the bank prop bet, end up being 0-2. But this time, I said, you know what? I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole. I'm not touching that with my 10-foot leg. I'm not touching none of that. But I digress. Kyle Shanahan did not have an opportunity to be outcoached in this game. The Detroit Lions were up 24-7 at half. Midway through the third quarter, there was a series of events that caused the unraveling of that 17-point lead. Detroit was in field goal range, up 24-7. Levi's Stadium was quiet as a mouse. You could see the pressure ratcheting up on the 49ers sideline. You could see Kyle Shanahan sweating bullets. Like, oh, God, if we get down 17 points. In fact, yeah, if we get down at 17 points again after we done cut the lead to 14, I don't know what I'm able to do. Because guess what? This defense, I mean, this offense is, has never really been built to come from behind. But to their credit, 2 weeks in a row, that's exactly what they did. So it's fourth and short, field goal range. The offense stays on the field for an exorbitantly long time. And I'm thinking, I know they're not going to eschew the field goal. I know they're not going for it on fourth down. Yes, I know. All throughout the year, all throughout this season, all throughout this resurgence, Dan Campbell has made his living on going for it, putting the pedal to the metal, actually becoming the embodiment of my team's motto, all gas, no brake. But I'm like, there's no way in hell you're on the doorstep of the Super Bowl. Your first Super Bowl in franchise history against the number one seed who've been playing like pure T crap. And you have a chance midway through the third quarter to go up by 17 again. I know there's no way they're going to just say, you know, we don't need those 3 points. Did they not see what happened to Green Bay last week when they did not go for the 3 points early in the game, and when they missed the three-point opportunity later in the game, guess how much they lost by? 3. Oh, I didn't let y'all know. What was the final score of this game? San Francisco 49 is 34. Detroit, 31. 3-point victory. So they went for it. They went for it. And this dude, Josh Reynolds, he had multiple drops. I won't even say this was the most egregious drop. But he dropped a catchable ball. Yes, was it slightly behind him? Yes, but this is the ball that you have to catch if you're trying to get to the promised land. He dropped the ball. Turnover on downs. And you know what that turnover on downs did? It gave the 49ers, who was on their last gasp, that oh so much needed twinkle of hope that, you know what, they left that door open and now it's go time. The Brandon Ayuk play that I was talking about, the 51-yard reception, bounced off of Detroit Lions cornerback's shoulder, which should have been an interception. And Brandon Ayuk grabbed the ball for the reception. A couple plays later, McCaffrey, he runs it in. And now 24-10 becomes 24-17, in which it should have been 27-10. A 10-point swing. Oh, it gets worse. After the ensuing kickoff, there was a fumble. Fumble! In Lions territory. Recovered by the 49ers. And the 49ers punch it in with another Brandon Ayuk. Matter of fact, Brandon Ayuk scored the touchdown to bring it into 24-17. And then Christian McCaffrey punched it in to tie the game off the ill-fated turnover. Now the momentum is purely on the 49ers side. Levi's Stadium is rocking. The defense now it's 24 up. Detroit in the back of their mind, they're probably wondering, is this happening? Is this really happening? Is this really happening? Yeah, I know it's different players, different era, but still, when you got that silver lion, silver helmet with a lion on it, on your head, it kind of seeps into the, it seeps into the, to the brain cavity. Almost like when people put that Jets on their head, it seeps into the brain cavity. And this is why I wanted good things for y'all. I wanted good things for y'all. I was like, look, if we can't do it, you know what? It's been 40 some odd years. At least we got one. They need to get one. Didn't work. Now, Jake Moody kicks a 33-yard field goal to give San Francisco the lead 27-24 with 9:56 remaining. And Elijah Mitchell put the nail in the coffin for a 3-yard touchdown run, which was set up by a great run by Christian McCaffrey to put them up 34-24, 3:06 remaining in the game. Game is over. So to go from 24-7 to be down 34-24, do you know what they did? You know what my nickname is going to be for these? Yeah, I said these cocksuckers. Cheddar Bob Ass Lions. Yeah. I know it's cliche, but that's exactly what they did. Since y'all wanted to big up and have Eminem on the screen, lose yourself at the moment, lose it, then never let it go. If you got one shot, that be chance to blow. Yeah, y'all had one shot. And guess what? Y'all blew that opportunity. Y'all blew that opportunity like Cheddar Ball blew a hole in his nuts. But you know who's starring Cheddar Bob as Cheddar Bob? In this story, this guy right here. Yeah, you could point to the drops. You could point to the play calling. You could point to all that. But guess what? Guess what? When you're the captain of the ship, when the ship goes down, you must go down too. And tell you the truth, he does look like if Cheddar Bob aged about 20 years. Look at this dumb mother effer. Does that not look like he could be related to Dan Campbell? Look at it. Doesn't he look like somebody who said, you know, we're going bite the kneecaps off our competition. Cheddar Bob ass mother effer. I mean, you know who I feel sorry for? I feel sorry for Lions faithful. The Lions fans from coast to coast. What up, though? You know what's up. Your Cheddar Bob ass coach shit at the game. Makes me wonder, did he have some bread on it? Did he have some bread on the side? Speaking of bread, I'll get to that in a very few minutes. Because not only did these Lions Cheddar Bob their ass, their fans, out of a richly deserved Super Bowl appearance, they cost me some money. And not in the way that you would think. Not in the way you would think. But it's all good. So now we have a rematch with the 49ers and the Chiefs. A couple years ago when they faced each other in the Super Bowl, Patrick Mahomes had abysmal game until the last 3-4 minutes of the fourth quarter, until Jimmy G proved that he was never going to be Kyle Shanahan's guy by missing a wide open Sanders that would have effectively won them the Super Bowl. And he overthrew Sanders, Emmanuel Sanders. They had a 10-point, they had a 10-point lead, and they effectively coughed it up. And they allowed Patrick Mahomes to get his first Super Bowl ring. Would this happen this year? I don't know. I got 2 weeks, to marinate on. Because right now, both of these teams actually cost me some bread in various ways, which I'll get to in a very few minutes. I really believe it's not even going to be a segment of Mike Steph must have bumped his mother effing head. No, 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 no. I think we're going to bring back Old Faithful. And you know what Old Faithful is? I'll tell you what Old Faithful is in a few minutes. But yeah, Jared Goff led them back down the field in 2 minutes for a meaningless touchdown to pull within 34-31. And yeah, pretty much game is over. Game is over. I mean, like, it was just mere formality. 56 seconds left, a couple of runs, a kneel down, game is over. This is a game that will go down in infamy in Detroit. This will go down in infamy for the current career of Dan Campbell. I know you could choose to think of it as, well, he did get Detroit to a point they haven't been in over 30, in about 30 years. Yeah. And he effectively shot himself and his team. Matter of fact, he shot himself in the foot, he shot his team in the foot, and he shot the fan base in the heart. Yeah. Because he was thinking more with his ego than his head. He was thinking more with his gut. Matter of fact, fuck the gut. He was thinking more with his ego. Like, you know what? We're going to be aggressive. We're going to say, you're up. You need to be up 17 points. Simple as that. The three would have been the kill shot instead of going actually for the kill shot. Even Stitch agrees to that. Right, Stitch? Okay. Stitch agrees with that. So now we got Super Bowl 58 in 2 weeks. That's going to give me a week to kind of collect my thoughts and figure out what I'm going to do. Probably talk about my Knicks, which I've been prolonging. But and that's offense, my friend. We got one more segment left. One more segment left. And you know what it is. Or do you?
I think Baltimore is going to the Super Bowl. I think Lamar Jackson is going to have that 2-week run-up, and it's going to be all about Lamar Jackson. He's going to be the MVP entering the Super Bowl game. And I think it's not so much of a dawning of a new era, but I think Lamar's time to sign. So my pick would be the Ravens -4, which is funny because when I first did my notes, it was Ravens -3. So I guess the smart money is starting to go on the Ravens, which I think is smart to begin with. But yeah, Ravens -4. And as for that over under, part of me wants to go under, because I think there's supposed to be a 60 or 70% chance of precipitation, but it's not supposed to be so cold. It's supposed to be in mid to low 40s. So it's not going to be like a freezing rain. But two things. One, I believe Kansas City is going to find a way to get 20 points. I don't think they're going to be held below 20 points. Just somehow, some way, because even though Mike Shanahan should, I mean, Kyle Shanahan should know better. Kyle Shanahan, his whole philosophy is putting the quarterback in positions to succeed and leaning on the running game. And that brings me back to the point that I was hitting at prior to this game. I mean, prior to us recapping this game. There was a little known stat last week that my trusty partner, the Mojo King, laid out expertly, I must say, you know, and I took the bait, but this is not about me. Jared Goff playing with ice in his veins. More ice in his vein than B-Rabbit. So, I say all that to say, look, I'm not even going to go with the, oh yeah, you know, the 28 and a half. Lions. Lions are going to cover that spread. If they lose, I don't think they're going to lose. Matter of fact, I'm picking them to win. But if the Lions lose, they're not losing by more than a touchdown. So it's going to be Lions plus 7. That over-under, I'll go over because I think this has a potential to be a back-and-forth game. Because Detroit's defense can be suspect at times, but the 49ers defense has proven to be suspect also, at least last week against the Packers. And truth be told, the Lions are a better team than the Packers.
Wow, bold statements there. All right, looking at this on paper, it's decidedly the 49ers. They had the second-ranked offense as far as scoring and the third-ranked defense as far as points given up. So 1 and 2 are in the AFC. Number 3 is right here in the NFC. By comparison, the Lions' offense was pretty good. It was ranked 5th, but their defense was 23rd. So out of these four teams, there is one deficient unit, and that is the Lions' defense. As strong as the 49ers looked for most of the season, I think on paper, San Francisco is clearly the superior team. But here's where the problems start. The Detroit Lions seem like they don't make many mistakes, and they play with heart all the time, and they are going to fight through this no matter what. I'm starting to feel like he is, possibly. I don't like it. If it turns out like you said, I think you said over, right? Yeah. If it turns into a shootout, I think you're playing into the Lions' hands. Granted, I don't think Goff compares to those AFC quarterbacks, but against Brock Purdy, toss up. And I think I actually trust the Lions machine, coaching team, St. Brown, to make the plays when it comes down to if it is a shootout.
You saw that clip, right? All my audio listeners, you heard that clip, right? I specifically said, yeah, I'm going to do the Lions plus 7 because I feel like they were going to win outright. But even if they didn't win, they would not lose by more than 7 points. Technically, I was correct. I said it was going to go over the 50 and a half, right? Technically, I was correct. The Mojo King, he said that the 49ers on paper were going to win. And I believe he actually chose the 49ers to win. Because I just don't believe that he would actually choose the Lions. And technically, he was correct. And I know you're probably like, look, we just saw and heard what you were saying. So why you keep on with this technically crap? Exhibit A. This week's parlay. For my audio listeners, I'm going to run down the list. It was a 5-way parlay this week. And I contradicted myself on multiple levels because at the end of the day, after having a couple days to actually marinate on what I said on HGF, I said, you know what? I know I said what I said on HGF. And I know, which go ahead, that's probably the conviction of my heart. But guess what? I'm about the money. I'm about the bag. Got to get this bread. So I had the Kansas City Chiefs plus 4.5. Guess what?
You see that green dot? They covered. I had the Detroit Lions for a first half spread, a +4.5. See that green dot? They covered. Now we're going to skip that seven, that -7. We'll get to that in a minute. Order at the bottom. Amon-Ra St. Brown for 50 or more reception yards. Yes, he received that. Sam Laporta for 25 or more, or +25 receiving yards. Yes, he received that. CMC, Christian McCaffrey, for +70 rushing yards. Look, it was nip and tuck for a minute, but he received that, partly because of the comeback. Now, that -7. Now, I'm going to give credit where credit is due. One of our viewers / listeners from HDF, hopefully he's the listener and viewer of Salty Thoughts and Mike Steph, I would say, Mr. Steve, been on the money when it comes to predictions. He divulges me some information, and I said, you know what? Maybe, just maybe, I'm going to put two parlays down. I'm going to put one, the one I already had, and this one, I got a bonus bet. Put on there. His thought pattern was this, without getting too in-depth, that the 49ers were going to start out sluggish, but eventually the 49ers would wake up and the game would not be close, especially once Deebo Samuel was deemed to be playing. So I took that information. I was like, all right, if they're going to start off sluggish, then I believe Detroit is going to have the lead at halftime, which they did 24-7. I believe Amon-Ra St. Brown was going to be able to get his 50. I believe CMC was going to have enough gas in the tank to get 70 yards. And being the fact that, you know, he believes he's going to be 49 is going to run away with it. You know what? I'm going to put 49ers -7 for the overall spread. And do you know, I was about a minute 6 away from cashing in that bet into this garbage-ass touchdown? Garbage-ass touchdown by who? Jameson Williams, 3-yard touchdown with a minute remaining to close the gap to 31-34. Not like they were going to win. That's why I hate with this prevent defense. No, you was supposed to pin your ears back and blitz that motherfucker. Win by 10. Go hard or go home. Don't give them a little sniff. Don't let it come down to an onside kick.
But of course, Doug is a step.
Was in effect once again. I don't know why. I have one more game to hopefully redeem myself for this NFL season. And truth be told, I really believe that next year for the NFL season, I'm just going to do strictly fantasy football. I'm leaving the parlays alone. I'm leaving the prop bets alone. I'm just going to go strictly fantasy football because in the last 2 years, matter of fact, 2 years ago, I came in at 6th in a fantasy football league. I won a cool $250. And I could truthfully say I probably lost about conservative amount, $250 this entire season, which, tell you the truth, by gambling standards, it's not that bad. But trust and believe, you think I got 250 just to be tricking off like I'm in a strip club? Got a wife. Got kids. Got grandkids. I got needs. Got an anniversary. That shit I gotta do. That's kind of the reason why I keep on trying these parlays, because hopefully these parlays are gonna hit and I could, you know, kind of pay for an extraordinary anniversary present. But woe is me. Shoot, that's not a tea of sadness. That's a tea of a clown. The fuck I am, a clown. Clown ass dude. Think I'm gonna hit one of these parlays. That wasn't even an egregious parlay. Anyway. Fuck it. That brings us to the end of another edition, Salty Thoughts of Mike Stepp podcast, featuring the one and only Mike Stepp, best in the world at what he does. Best in the world at everything except parlays, evidently. Next week is going to be interesting. Because thought just came to my head, and I just realized and remembered in real time what next week is. So next week I will have an episode. Subject matter, I don't know, to be announced. I don't know. It's probably just going to be me talking from the heart. No football to talk about. I ain't going to talk about wrestling and basketball. Yeah, that could wait until after the Super Bowl. But yeah, next week it'll be me talking from the heart. Let's just put it that way. Next week will be 3 years. 3 years since my son passed. So I know you're probably like, well, why the hell are you doing an episode? Because believe it or not, it actually does help. So that's what's going to be on tap next week, just me talking. Reminiscing, saying whatever comes to my mind, you know, stuff like that. So that's what's going to be on tap next week. Please check out Hidden Gems Football, hosted by the Mojo King and myself, Mike Stepp. New episodes drop each and every Thursday on the YouTube channel of the 19 Media Group and on all, when I say all, I mean all streaming platforms wherever podcasts are available. And while you're doing that, you can check out the audio edition of the Salty Thoughts of Mike Stepp podcast, available on the following platforms: Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, amongst others. New episodes drop each and every Wednesday. Yeah, I told you I'm going to drop on Wednesdays. I've been dropping on Wednesdays. You can check me out on social medias at Mike Steffens double underscore on X, at Mike double underscore Steff on the gram, Instagram that is, and Mike Steff single underscore on TikTok. Yeah. Wow. This is, matter of fact, hold on a minute. Before I get out of here, once again, I'm going to let y'all know that I'm going to be dropping an audio only edition of the Salty Thoughts of Mike Stepp podcast, you know, a sprinkle of salt edition, recapping this past weekend's WWE PLE offering, the Royal Rumble. I'll give us a little, not so much of a recap, but my thoughts on the event and my thoughts on the fallout from the lawsuit that's being filed
against Vince McMahon and his various sexual misconduct that's happened over the years. For more on that, check out the Salty Thoughts and Mike Step podcast, the audio edition on all streaming platforms where podcasts are available. Sometime Monday night, early Tuesday morning. And that will not take place of the audio version of this here episode dropping on Wednesday. So you're going to double dip this week. Also, check out, like I said in the beginning, check out one half of Gimmick Infringement, Brad Winchester, on gimmickinfringement.com for an article that he had for the most recognizable letters in the wrestling industry nowadays, NDA. He wrote a very, very informative article concerning the NDAs and the various scandalous things that are going on in the world of professional wrestling, you know, off screen. So yeah, give those things a try. I'm going to leave y'all with a track off of my EP that I dropped last month. I might as well say last year, but last month. On Bandcamp.com, the Trials and Tribulations of Mike Steff EP. And figured, you know, maybe this will give you an idea of what's going to be on tap next week. So I'll check y'all later. All right. Goodbye.
Of my year, the end of my fear, at the end of my grief, I'm the only one here, there is no one left, it's the life at the death, tired of this COVID shit, tired of holding my breath, I don't believe nothing, everything is a lie, I stress because I care, insomniac eyes, from psychoanalyze to self-prophesize, none of it even matters, I'm just missing my car, tired of everyone telling me to hold on, how I'm supposed to progress without my firstborn, if it was the easy, do you think I recall emotional overload? This world is forewarned that I'm about to be on some bullshit, and rightfully so. How many times should I get hit without turning the blow? Fuck taking the high road, since birth I went slow. Probably explains why I can't seem to grow. What I'm supposed to do, if the late in the game, to change what's ingrained and see it in my brain. I got so much want, but nothing left to gain. My cup running over, emotionally drained. My mainframe's insane, immune to the pain. Consider reality, my retribution is tame. Self-care's a joke, I walk around teethless. It allows me to slowly become speechless. Lack of vision started impacting decisions. Out of my 9 lives, half of them were finished. Lack of vision started impacting decisions. Out of my 9 lives, half of them were finished. Lack of vision started impacting decisions. Out of my 9 lives, half of them were finished. Who on kid and made a daily habit bending? Reality of my life, fences needed mending. 10 months and counting, the loss to keep a mountain. That adversity I face made me wonder what I'm rounding. Keep climbing the mountain, but haven't reached my peak. Sneaking to my final form, should be ready in a week. No longer am I weak, stronger than I thought it was. Even though I'm on some meds, I'm finally on the natural buzz. When 30 over 85, my heart is under pressure. Blood, no matter what the verdict, only God could be my judge. I remember the one night in December, had the sweats with the twitches, the beginning of a bender. Didn't heed the signs, but it changed my life forever. Had the Lexi mix for animal, the malady for 7. Followed by the spirit, while I'm haunted by genetics. My past inhibitions made me apathetic. All the false rhetoric came to a settlement. Fork in the road made my pain start kettling. Lack of vision started impacting decisions. Out of my 9 lives, half of them were finished. Lack of vision started impacting decisions. Out of my 9 lives, half of them were finished. Lack of vision started impacting decisions. Out of my 9 lives, half of them were finished. Who on kitten made a daily habit bending? Reality of my life, fences needed mending.